Hey guys, what's up? I'm a Giriraj Asar, your host and your dost, and you are listening now the Giriraj Asar podcast. It's all about personal branding and digital marketing, and where I share my 100% practical knowledge and my personal branding journey, and also sharing some interviews of certain digital influencers. Hey guys, what's up? This side is Giriraj Asar. And welcome to the new podcast episode of Giriraj Asar with the awesome digital nomad. And his start your journey is very early. And honestly, when I read your story, I was really shocked and really curious about know about you more and more. Because you have every story, you are changing randomly, you are shifted in your hometown to California, then different cities and different like countries. Hey Lillian, and thank you so much for joining with me and giving your awesome time with me.
Yeah, it's totally my pleasure. I was so glad when you reached out. I would love to be, you know, on a podcast where I can reach more audience and hopefully spread my message and allow more people to be inspired to become digital nomads, because I really think this is a truly, truly amazing lifestyle.
Yeah, because right now Indian people are very need to be a digital nomad. They are like tired with their 9-to-5 and they're they're fixed, like living in the fixed cycle in their life, going job, office, and marriage, and everything about. So now we need people, because after the COVID, many people are active and understand remote job and digital nomad things. Otherwise, my first questions to you, because I'm so curious about know your journey and you, because your story is telling about like very awesome. You are sharing everything. But I listened to you, okay, how did you start your journey in the very early of age?
Yeah. So should I just talk about my story in general? Like just to give everyone an overview of who I am?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So my name is Lillian. I am now a digital nomad coach, and I teach people how to go from the lives that maybe are not making them satisfied anymore into becoming digital nomads. And I do this by teaching people step by step how to, you know, build their remote income, how to figure out what they really want, and how to manage their personal finances, which of course is very, very important, right? Through very practical steps. So I'm not just telling people, hey, you know, quit your job and just do it, right? Yeah. And a lot of digital nomads say that. They're like, you know, yeah, I quit my job. I had no income. I have no savings. And I just live in my friend's basement for 3 months. And I'm like, ooh, to me, that's not, you know, that's not what I want to do. And that's not what, I wish for other people to do. If you enjoy the journey, great. But I think a lot of us wouldn't be able to resonate with this message. And in our heads, we're just thinking, okay, if you have to become a digital nomad by doing that, then I don't want to do it, you know, because that doesn't make sense to people. So the way that I approach it is to teach people how to responsibly become a digital nomad, and through a strategy, not just like, go have fun, go do it. So that's my approach. As for myself, I was born in Taipei, Taiwan, and I was living here for 12 years before my entire family moved to California. So I went to school in California, and then in college, I got to study abroad in London and Paris, and stayed a little bit in Bordeaux as well. So that gave me more international experience of living across 3 continents. And then at the end of my first study abroad experience, I actually backpacked by myself for an entire month across Europe, which, you know, it sounds like a really, really good experience. And, you know, on photos, it's all great. And I'm just posing everywhere I go. But in reality, it was really, really hard, because I was only like 20 years old or something. And being a 20-year-old and by yourself for an entire month with no family, no friend, and I don't even think I had data on my phone. So everywhere I go, I have to download the map in advance. And if I'm stuck, I don't speak the language, I don't know where to go, I have to like try to communicate with people, even though they may not understand me. So that was actually a really tough experience. And that was my first experience of extensively traveling. And then after I came back to America and graduated from college, I started working for a real estate developer as a financial analyst. So as you know, financial analyst in real estate investment, I was making really good money. And so I was able to buy my first home actually when I was 23. And then now I rented it out. So I became a landlord. And I really, really liked how to manage personal finances. So it was something that I read about. That is something that I like was really passionate about. And that allowed me to do this and also build a very stable financial foundation. So because of that, when I was laid off during COVID, I was like, okay, I don't want to do it anymore. And I'm not freaking out because I still have a lot of savings. And that allowed me to pursue the career that I really wanted to, which is to become a digital nomad.
Yeah, exactly. Lots of people did mistake. They are not managed their finance. They are just listen to people. They are saying that digital nomad is a good lifestyle. So they are joining, just never think about more and more ke how digital nomad is, everything is bulk because you are moved different cities, different countries. So basically you need to be more money and more like financial stability, because without financial stability, you can't survive on it.
So exactly.
According to you, what biggest mistake people do in didn't manage their finance and the other things on digital nomad?
Exactly. Because, you know, just because you're a digital nomad doesn't mean that you don't need to manage your money, right? Yeah. Just because you're a digital nomad doesn't mean you don't need to work. Just because you're a digital nomad doesn't mean you don't need to eat healthy and live healthily, right? It doesn't change anything. It's just how you work. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. And according to you, what the biggest mistake people become a digital nomad in related to personal finance?
Yeah, so I think the biggest mistake, the worst thing that they can do, actually, this is the second worst thing that they can do. The second worst thing that they can do is to become digital nomads with no savings, no plans, no remote income, and just nothing. And maybe they just have a little bit of savings, and then they say, well, I'm going to go to Bali and I'm going to figure it out. That is about the worst thing that you can do. And there is an even worse thing that you can do compared to what I just said. And is I've actually seen some people borrow money to go into debt so that they can become digital nomads. And to me, that's just like mind blowing. You know what I mean? Because think about it this way, right? Why do people want to become digital nomads? It's because they want to be free.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
They want to be free. Okay, so now you have freedom over your time. You have freedom to be where you want to be, but you don't have freedom for your money.
Yeah.
If you're poor, if you don't have money, you have to work. So you can't really say, okay, I'm just going to spend my time to do nothing, because you have to spend your time to work. And can you really go anywhere you want if you don't have the money? No, not really. You have to stay in somewhere cheap where you can afford. You can't really go anywhere. So it's kind of ironic how people think about, okay, I'm going to be a digital nomad because I want freedom for this, but I don't care about money because money doesn't buy you happiness, right? But money does buy you happiness because it allows you to do, right? It allows you to pursue the type of freedom that you want to pursue by becoming a digital nomad.
Yeah. Actually, it's just the biggest mistake of people do. I think they are like saying that money is not anything, because I just say that money is play very important role in freedom. In happiness, because happiness comes from freedom, and freedom comes from money. Because you go anywhere in your life, you are go any place, anything. You are survival and live the better life, and anything you can do, so you need some money. So that's, and as according to you, how to overcome this problem from the digital nomad?
So how do you overcome, I guess, the financial money problem of digital nomad? Or I can explain to you how money actually works if you do want to become a digital nomad.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so I'm going to start from the beginning, right? So there's three ways that you can make money as a digital nomad. Just because you're a digital nomad doesn't mean that you have to have a certain type of job. I think that is one of the biggest misconceptions. You can be a digital nomad and be a lawyer. You can be an accountant. You can be a consultant. You can be, you know, a financial analyst, a digital marketer, a social media manager, a graphic designer, anything. Anything that you can do online is a digital nomad job, right?
Yeah.
So number one, you can be employed. Okay, so the way that you make your money is, of course, you still get a paycheck, which is great. I think this is actually how most of the digital nomads start, because this is the easiest way. Like, if you really, really want to leave your job, find a remote job and you're good. And you are, bam, you're a digital nomad.
Yeah.
Now, the downside to that is you're not getting the full freedom, right? Yeah. Because you still have to work, and sometimes on a different time zone with a different employer. And also they are going to tell you exactly how you're going to work. So you're not exactly free. The second type is you can be a freelancer. And what I like about this is it's kind of a little bit step up in terms of your freedom. You find your own clients and then you still provide the same services as you would. But with this, you're a little bit better off because before your only source of income is from your employer, right? So what if something bad happens? What if you're abroad, let's say, you know, in a random country, and then your employer suddenly said, oh, you know what? We don't need you anymore. Yeah. Now you're stuck in a foreign country with no plans, right? So this is why I don't necessarily like the employer approach as much, and I don't preach it as much. Whereas if you're a freelancer, you have many, many clients, right? If one client says, oh, you know what? I don't need it anymore. And you're like, okay, fine. I still have other ones and I can find a new one to replace you. You are safer financially if you have multiple sources of income, right? And then the last type is you can make money as an entrepreneur. And this is just very broad. You can be any type of entrepreneur as you want. The thing about how to maintain financial stability as an entrepreneur is that your money for different months is going to be very, very different. Some months you're going to have a lot of income. Some months you're not going to have a lot. The trick is you want to look at how much you're spending. You want to keep your costs low and you want to keep the average income high. So as long as there's very, you know, a big gap between what you're spending and what you're getting, you're fine. Because if it fluctuates on top, right, you you're only spending that much. So that keeps you very, very safe, even though every single month your income is not the same. So this is why a lot of people ask me like, well, but isn't 9 to 5 more secure? Yeah, it's more secure because it's flat. But if you're spending this much money and you're making this much money, is that really secure? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And also, that's a great point because many people think about leaving the job is the good options for doing digital nomad and doing anything else. But I think first stability is the most important. Firstly, stable on finance. If you are stable, financial stable, so then you can doing. Then you can start exploring. So whatever you do, if you are doing job, so you have a good options for coming regular to regular finance. And and also my other questions, one of my questions is how can we manage personal finance in our daily to daily life?
I have a few tips for that. Number one is you want to have the habit of saving money the moment that you receive it. So every time that you get paid, set aside the money first, right? It's called paying yourself first. You set aside, 10% is absolutely the minimum. Back when I was working full time, I was saving 50% of my income. And I know some people even go up to 60, 70% of their income. So save as much as you can. And then the second step is you want to invest your money, right? So don't go for buying individual stocks and whatnot. Just buy ETFs or index funds. So I don't know if it's available in India, but basically what it means is that you want to spend little fees, as little as possible, and then just buy the market average, right? Because let's say if you buy Google, you buy Apple, you buy Tesla, right? Yeah. What if one day Tesla goes bad? Then your money is, you know, you lose your money, right? Whereas if you buy the average of the entire market, you know that it's going to increase over time. So you just put money in and you just forget about it. And you know that it's going to grow in the long run. Okay. So this advice is valid for most people. I would say this is only different for someone who is about to retire. Okay. So, or like someone who needs their money in the next 1 or 2 years, that would be someone who wouldn't follow this long-term strategy. And the second is, you know, how do you build wealth? You want to control your income and you have your expenses, right? The how much you make versus how much you spend is how much you save. And how much you save is how much you can invest, which is how much you can build wealth, right?
Yeah, I think.
Right. Yeah. So on one hand, you have to try to increase your income. And on the other hand, you have to decrease your expenses. So don't think that being rich is all about buying expensive things and driving nice cars and wearing expensive bags. Because think about it, actually rich people don't get rich by spending their money.
Yeah, exactly. Saving is the good options. And so saving and investment is the good options to being like good entrepreneurs and being like good human being and being a good growth for our share. Yeah. Also, one of my other questions is, you are as well as digital nomads, freelancer. How can anyone start their journey from scratch, from zero, as a freelancer, as a digital nomad?
Yeah. So if you are a freelancer, right, let's say I want to talk about the biggest mistake that people make as they are transitioning from a full-time job into a freelancer. So one of the things that I noticed is that people tend to want to start over, right? So let's say you're doing something that does make you a lot of money, and maybe you can do it online. And people, I don't know why, they go and they look up like, oh, popular digital nomad jobs. And they're like, okay, hey, so I'm doing this thing that, you know, let's say I'm a financial analyst. Yeah. Hey, I'm a financial analyst and I want to become a digital nomad. So let me go and learn to become a graphic designer.
Yeah.
You know, there's people who do that. And to me, it's just completely dumbfounding, because why do you have to confine yourself to the very few jobs that so many people are already doing, right? So that's number one, I think the biggest mistake, because you're also competing with all these people who are looking at the same job.
Exactly.
Exactly. And then the second thing that I think is very important is, no matter what you do, you have to be good at something, or you have to specialize in something. So let me ask you a question, right? If you're a doctor, does a brain surgeon make more money, or does a general doctor make more money?
Yeah, brain surgeon, obviously.
Right, right. Yeah. So let me ask you the same question. If you're a social media manager, do you make money if you are just a social media manager, or you're a social media manager for e-commerce sites who specialize in marketing to millennials?
Yeah, e-commerce, for social media for e-commerce, because it's a specific target segment, yeah.
Right, exactly. So I'm saying that no matter what you choose, you have to specialize in something, because that's how you get more money. Otherwise, you'll just be stuck with all the other social media managers who are just not standing out from the crowd.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, specialization is now, market is like very popular. If you are good at anyone, so everyone is beating you in any time. And if you are good at one skill, so never people beated you, and always never is like increase your competition. You are saying very right, because people are just search on Google, okay, what is the best job for digital nomad, and they are start doing. They are not find out ki, but they are add someone specific value for someone, and but they are good on it. So that's, I think, the biggest mistake and people do. I think other one is I asking with you, according to you, what are the some good skills and what are the some good skills that people start on learning on freelancing?
Yeah, so I think number one, what you want to look at is not necessarily worry about what makes money, right? Of course that matters. Like, of course, if you learn how to program, then you'll make more money than maybe someone who's teaching English, right? But I think what really matters is what you are good at, right? It doesn't make sense for a fish to Google how to fly, for example, right? A fish should just focus on how to swim faster, right? Yeah. So that's the same analogy, is focus on what you're good at first and try to figure out, based on what you're good at, how can you be better at something that is very, very specific?
Yeah, exactly. And also my other one question is related to finance. According to you, what are the some good source for investing for freelancers and digital nomads? So they are doing invest on the side by side, a part of their earning, a part of their saving, they are invest. So what are the some good source for investment as a freelancer, as a digital nomad?
I think this is going to be a little bit tricky, because for every country, it's a little bit different. Some of the products that are available in the United States are not the same products as, you know, available in India or in Taiwan, for example. I think what is most important, so I can't really give investment advice on what specifically to buy, but what I can give is the general good principles, right? Live a frugal lifestyle. If you don't need something, you don't get it. Don't get it because, you know, in America, we have this expression where we say we buy things that we don't need with money that we don't have to impress people that we don't like.
And
that's a big trap. It makes you feel like you're not spending money to buy the things or experiences that are, you know, sparking joy for you. So I think if you do want to spend money, go through your bank statement, okay? And then try to look at all the things that you spend and actually highlight the ones that made you feel happy, right? So maybe you pay for your car to be repaired. That doesn't make you happy. You pay for gas. That doesn't make you happy. But what about a really nice dinner to, you know, to out with friends? What about like a field trip to, you know, with your kids to somewhere really, really to a farm or something? Those are things that you should focus on spending on. So that is my advice. And I think generally spend some time to learn about personal finance. Investing is not hard and it should not be, because a lot of experts, they will tell you all these different products and, you know, Bitcoins and all these things and like mutual funds, hedge fund and all that stuff. I'm telling you, as a normal person, you do not need to know any of these things.
Exactly. And also other one question is related to your life, because you are start and very early age to, you are, I think, facing many problems in your life. So according to you, what's the biggest problem and biggest hurdle come in your life and how to overcome all these?
Oh, I have many problems. actually, let me go back for 1 second. So I actually want to give one of my favorite books. It is called I Will Teach You to Be Rich by Ramit Sethi. And he's a Indian American, and now he has his own program as well on teaching people not just on personal finance, but also personal improvement and how to run your business. And with his book, it's just very straightforward. It's everything that you need to know. It's more based on, you know, for a US audience, but the principle that he teaches are pretty much the same. And I have recommended this book to my, you know, British friends, and they also liked it as well.
Yeah, that's great. And also, I'm curious about to know about your chapter. You are running a like community, and what about your digital? I think it's now of chapter nomad.
Yes.
Can you tell me about your chapter nomad? What it is exactly?
Yeah. So as I was telling you, when I was becoming a digital nomad, I was researching all these tips, right, of how to become a digital nomad. And I just didn't resonate with any of them, because I thought, well, so I am giving up my career to make minimum wage to do a new job that I don't know very well, like, you know, and to live in someone's basement for a long time, or, you know, it doesn't make sense for me, right? So that's why I realized that I needed to create another version of a digital nomad that is not always traveling. It's not always about the lifestyle, because, you know, as someone who is more like me, I'm not in Southeast Asia all the time. I actually prefer Europe, right? I actually don't like to be on the beach that much. I actually don't like nature that much.
Yeah. Right?
And I just want to show that a lot of the digital nomads, we just work as normal people. The only difference is that we don't have to be in a certain place. We can go live in different countries, but it's not like we're going out and being influencers all the time. And I think that we get such a skewed perception, because when we go on social media, all we see are the influencers, right? Because imagine someone who is a business owner, busy with their business, they're not going to be spending time posting on YouTube or Instagram about their like weekend trip with, you know, their like little bikinis on the beach or in the mountains at a waterfall, right? They're not the ones doing that. So in our heads, we all think that if you want to be a digital nomad, you have to be an influencer. And I think that's completely wrong. Right. And so yeah. I also want to focus, you know, with Chapter Nomad, my vision is that you shouldn't become a digital nomad as a goal. Your goal should not to be a digital nomad, because think about it this way. Okay. So you know how there are these foreigners, they're forced, right? Yeah. They come to your country, they still act the exact same way as they did back home. They don't eat your food, they don't adopt to your customs. They're still the same person. So that is the same thing with digital nomadism, right? Just because you became a digital nomad doesn't mean that your life is going to change. What you have to change is yourself. Being in a different environment, maybe you will hope a little bit, but ultimately, just by becoming a digital nomad, you're not going to automatically solve your problems.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's great. And also, one of the, like, what's your biggest achievement in ever in 2020 and also in ever your life? It is you always feel proud and you always inspired with it.
Yeah, I mean, I think I have, you know, I think over the past few months, I changed how I view achievement a little bit differently. I've had a few achievements. So in high school, I created one of the biggest, you know, business clubs on campus, and we won all the way until nationals. In college, I got into UC Berkeley, and I graduated with a 3.7 GPA, which is quite good. I got my dream job afterwards in real estate development, right? That's an achievement. I bought my first house at 23. That's a huge achievement. But what does that really mean, right? Like, all of these achievements are achievements that are defined by society. You go to a good school, you get a good job, you make a lot of income, and you, you know, you buy a house. And everyone is wanting that for some reason, but I don't really know if that's the things that are for me, right? Yeah. I mean, it made me happy. Yeah, sure. But if society didn't exist and I was free to do whatever I wanted, would I have still done those things? I don't know. Right. So what I really think is my biggest achievement from 2020 is that I really took things slow. And that was one of the hardest things that I have ever done, because I am someone who is always like, you know, go, 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 go. If I show you my schedule on my phone, it's like, it's packed. It's everything. It's packed. So because I became a digital nomad, and with the pandemic going on, no one's going anywhere or doing anything, and everything just slows down, I finally had time to think. And it was the hardest thing that I've ever done, because in my mind, I always feel like I have to be busy, have to be productive in order to be a valuable member of society, right? And then if I just do nothing and enjoy life, I felt like my value was going down and down and down and down. And I think that was the biggest issue, the biggest struggle that I had. And to be able to recognize it, come to terms with it, and realize, like, you know what? I'm actually living my dream life right now. And the things that I'm chasing so hard for, I already have. So why do I feel guilty and stressed out about living my dream life? It doesn't really make sense, right? So I think this is the thing that I've been most proud of as an achievement during 2020.
Yeah. I think that's a very awesome gig. You are proud yourself and you are now living your dream life. So that's, I think, biggest proud for everyone. And I saw one of my questions rise in my mind because I'm also belong into Indian society because it's Indian society has very less freedom for girls. And I'm very curious to know about you. What's your point of view on your society? Did you face any issue related to society to become a girl? You not like a much freedom like a boys? Did you face any type of issue in your country as well as I feel ke...
Oh, so many.
Yeah,
I mean,
matlab.
if we're talking about America and issues in America this
Yeah.
year, I think this podcast will be way too long. Yeah, but so I think to put it simply, every country, every culture has their own upsides and downsides, right? And why become a digital nomad is that when you're in a different environment, it exposes you to the flaws of the environment that you were in before, right? Because if everyone else, thought like you, everyone else acted like you would never challenge the ideas, your way of life, right? So I think, when I first moved to America, I just really didn't think that I associated with Asian culture anymore. I thought it was too conservative, it was too traditional. It was too restrictive, especially I think for women, it's a little bit sexist as well. It just didn't work for me. And now, coming back this time, it completely changed my mind of how open Taiwan is, how advanced it is socially, and how liberal it is now. And so, opinions change. And now I'm looking back at America and going like, what the heck are Americans doing? Why are they, or, for example, when I go to Europe, I would look at Americans like, why are they working all the time? Why do they have no fun in life? Why are they so obsessed with money and status, right? And then maybe I like, come back to America and I'm like, why are Europeans so lazy? And why don't they work all the time? Like, why do they close their shops at 8 o'clock? I think, yeah, the idea is that, by becoming a digital nomad, you may have more opportunities to travel the world and gain all these different perspectives. And hopefully, the goal is to become a global citizen. And it's for your own personal development, not because you want to be on Instagram and taking really nice photos.
Yeah, that's exactly because why I ask this question because I feel ki many people are think if someone girls is living America and any other country, so they not feel society issue in their country. So I feel society is everywhere. So we know Indian society was very like in there compared with other countries. So India's society was very low because there is a very limits in the if I talking about the girl. Yeah. So in my once of my questions from you and according to you, I how to get high paid clients in freelancing as a digital nomad.
How do I get hyper clients? What do you mean by hyper clients?
And my meaning is okay, how to get a clients, good clients, which is paid good money for us, and how to get a client, as a freelancer.
So number one, you have to be good at what you do, right? That's the foundation. You have to be good at what you do. Number two is you have to specialize, right? Like we talked about before, if you're an expert in something that is more narrow, you would be able to charge more money than if you are, just the generalist. So that's number two. Number three is you want to find the right clients. You have to be selective because even if, someone is willing to pay you money for your service, if they are not your ideal clients, they're not going to get results. And when they don't get your results, it's going to make you think in your mind, oh my God, is it that my methods don't work? Is it that am I bad? Am I not doing a good job? Right? It's going to make you ask all these questions. So I think qualifying and finding the right clients is very important. And when you start your freelance business, you should have a good idea of who exactly you help. And on top of that, more importantly, who exactly you do not help. Right. So, for example, for me, who exactly I help is people who are very ambitious. They want a better life for themselves. They are in a highly paid profession, but they just don't like the corporate job. Right. Yeah. And what they struggle with is, why would they give up so much money to become a digital nomad? That seems like way too much to lose for them. That's their problem. That's their struggle. Right. And that is, by all means, like, you know, just because someone is earning a lot of money doesn't mean they're not in pain, doesn't mean that they're not miserable, and they may be spending that much money as well. So, you know, that is a problem that I understand, right? So for someone that I don't help would be someone who doesn't have a lot of professional skills. Maybe they just graduated from college. Maybe they have very limited working experience. I'm not able to help them because you're not going to get the same results as the clients who already have skills that they can directly transfer into profitable online businesses or freelance businesses.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Great. That's awesome. And so one of the my questions, because very few people are facing issue to finding clients. According to you, what is the best way to finding good clients in freelancing?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I've been thinking about this question very frequently recently, and I've actually changed my approach. So before, I know that reaching out to people work, right? So if you send a lot of people messages, right, who might be good ideal clients, then some of them are going to respond, and then you get on calls with them, and then you qualify them, and then some of them are going to decide to work with you, right? Yeah. What I realized is that, yes, that is the fastest way to get clients, but I actually don't like it at all, because a lot of times you reach out to people and they just feel like you're spamming them. And a lot of times that the people that you reach out to, they turn out not to be your ideal clients either. And I know that it's just part of the funnel, right? You get a lot of people to qualify for it, and then you gradually narrow it down. But the thing also is that when you reach out to people, you have less of an opportunity to establish that trust, right? Because I would just be a stranger reaching out to you on the internet and offering you, hey, do you want to work with me and give me your money and I'll achieve this for you? And you're like, who are you? Right? You have no idea. You have no idea. Yeah, so exactly. What I do like better and do believe in better now is to create content. If you create good content, if you give a lot of value to your audience, people are going to come to you. And the best people that I've spoken with are the ones who found me and not the ones that I've reached out to.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that's a very like amazing to say. Okay. If you are a put out, someone is the free and give the good value, so it will automatically reach you. And the best way is if you are not reaching with people, people are reaching with you. So that's a very very amazing thing. And also one of them, I've sent some list of questions with you, but I didn't ask more because when I talking with you, to my whole like questions is come automatically because I ask related to this. I have lots of questions come in my mind because personal finance was a very big topic and very few people are manage their self as well as good as in finance because people do many mistakes. They are facing very issue in finance.
Yeah.
Yeah. And according to you, like, what's the best advice for a guy which is ever not any idea of personal finance? So how did they manage their salary, their income source, and apart from self-investment, how many percent they are invest on self-investment, readings, and personal life as well as, what's according to you?
Okay, go open an investment account. Okay, if not a savings account, just open a savings account for now. Every time you get paid, try to put 10% minimum, okay? 10% minimum away. And the more that you can put, the better, okay? And start from 10% and see if you can start to increase it to 20%, to 30%, to 40%, to 50%, okay? As you're building up this habit, you will have time to research on how to invest your money. And, you know, your money can just sit in the bank for now. And as long as you're saving up that money, you are making a lot of progress. And I think the best way that I like to do it is I just go and I pick up a book, because I think the book will tell you everything that you need to know in the order that you need to know it. But if you don't like, you know, books, for example, try some podcasts, right? Try some podcasts, try some YouTube video, and just make this a fun process. Personal finance shouldn't have to be boring. It shouldn't be something that deprives you. Think about it, right? Like, if you're thinking about budgeting, most people think about budgeting as like, I can't have this, I can't have this, I can't have this, and I need to save. And that's not very fun, isn't it? Right?
Yeah.
So if you think about budgeting as like, okay, if I can budget correctly this this month, then next month I get to do this and this and this. And all of a sudden you have all this motivation to be a better budgeter, because you're seeing what you're budgeting for. And that will keep you motivated and going.
Yeah, yeah, that's amazing. There were the great tips to learning personal finance as well as like applying on your life. And one of the questions that rise in my mind, according to you, why self-investment is the most important for us?
Like, why spending money? Self-investment, there's just many ways of self-investment.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that you need to go and, you know, sign up for crazy expensive courses. I think they do help. They do have a lot of value. And I was, you know, I was someone who like didn't believe in it at first, where I'm like, why can I just learn it myself and pay, you know, rather than pay someone so much money for it, right? But what I realized is that as I am becoming a digital nomad coach, as I'm starting my own business, I hire two coaches.
Yeah.
And then because of them, I fast track. I save so much of my time. So think about it, right? Like, if you're paying them even like 1 month of your salary, but you get to make money 1 month earlier than you would have before, then doesn't that break even? Right? It kind of makes sense. It makes sense. Yeah. And so just make sure that, you know, when you do invest in yourself, make sure that don't just spend money on like, you know, thinking that if you buy this, it will solve all of your problems. It doesn't make, you know, it doesn't work that way. Just because you want to lose weight and you go buy a diet pill doesn't mean that you're actually just going to all of a sudden turn skinny. Right? It doesn't work that way. You have to follow through. You still have to put in hard work. By investing in yourself, think about it more in the long term, not just about the shortcuts that you can take.
Yeah, yeah. And one of the questions I did ask with my every of my guests. So according to you, what's the best advice did you give yourself as a 10-year-old and 16-year-old?
Oh, man. I don't know. I think 10-year-old, I would say be a nicer person. Because I think I was kind of a mean kid as I was growing up. And I was like, I was kind of a bully because I liked being in power and I liked to, you know, it was maybe not that good. But now I go back every time. I'm actually very good with my elementary school friends now. But every time I see them, I still apologize for all the terrible things that I did to them. So that's what I would say to my 10-year-old self, is be kind to people. And then to my 16-year-old, you said?
Yeah.
16-year-old, I would say, you don't need to prove that, you know, you're cool. You don't need to feel insecure about who you are. And you definitely don't need to compare yourself to other people. And I think that was something that I struggled with. And sometimes I still struggle with it today. Is that like, you know, I was grown in a very, like I went to a very, very competitive high school where it just felt like it was the norm and the culture for people to say like, if you're smart, I hate you because you're going to ruin my chances of getting into the college that I want. Right. So it was kind of like that for everyone. And I just always felt like I wasn't good enough. And that I wasn't even smart. Like, I didn't even think I was smart. And I went to Berkeley. So it just put it into perspective. Right. So I think also like I made some friends who weren't that supportive. And, you know, cut off the people who aren't supportive for you, because you're not going to change them, and the situation is not going to be better the longer that you wait. So that if you do want to become a better version of yourself, you need to surround yourself with people who support you.
Yeah, yeah. I think this is a great advice ever for a 16-year-old kids, a 16-year-old guy. Yeah.
16-year-old is hard.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of my questions. Have you ever regret on anything? I will not do this in my life.
Yeah, I mean, like, I am not really the kind of person to look back and regret things. I just kind of look forward. But I think, you know, there may be times where I feel like I'm too harsh with myself. I could just have been easier, because beating yourself up isn't really productive. It's just going to make you feel bad about something, and then you wouldn't want to do it. Then which makes you beat yourself up even more. You know, doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's great. And also one of them, because it's a too long time. One of the last questions to you.
Okay.
But do you have best advice for every youngest they are doing hustling, they are doing something, try to do something good? So what are the best advice according to you?
I think you have to believe in yourself, and that's going to be hard, because it's kind of a chicken and egg situation. If you don't believe yourself, you're not going to achieve the goals that you want. And if you don't achieve the goals that you want, you don't believe in yourself, right? So it's hard to break the cycle. But what I'm saying is, if you don't believe in yourself, other people are not going to believe in you, and you're not going to succeed. So you have to start from your mindset. And this is the year where I realize how much my unconsciousness is controlling my thoughts, my behaviors, and ultimately my success at doing anything of my life, right? So I can teach you all the business tips that you want. I can teach you like all the information that you ever need to know. But in your mind, if you feel like if you don't deserve this success, you're not going to take it. You're not going to take it. So if something isn't working out for you, something about your unconsciousness is not accepting that success, right? So I would say really, really pay attention to what your head is telling you. Whenever you feel like you're coming across a struggle, ask yourself, why do I feel this way, right? I also mentor people for dating, for fun, just for fun, right? And whenever they come to me and say like, you know, I feel like I'm just really bad at dating and getting to know people, I'm like, why do you feel that? Why do you feel like you're unworthy? And then they actually list out all of these reasons from their childhood that are traumas, right? Of like, oh, you know, I was this person did this to me, this person, I felt so lonely doing this and this and this. And then once you're able to address all these things, then they can say, well, these things are in the past. They're not valid anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not this person. This has nothing. These things don't define me. And therefore, I can move on and go, pursue the things that I want. So I want to say, if you have some time today, if your audience has some time to go and just write down the things that are stopping you, and write down the reasons why there's it, unless it gets to a point where you feel like, wow, I wasn't even thinking about that. Digging deeper and deeper and deeper, and it might not be a fun experience, but it will definitely make you grow.
Yeah, that's awesome. And hey, it's a very like great and ever a good advice for everyone, every hustler and every guys is doing for good. And from the other question in my mind, according to you, many people are trying to do something and they are fail. So according to you, what are the biggest mistake people do? They are fail and they are like, yeah.
And they're sorry, you cut off a little bit.
Yeah.
What is the biggest mistake? What?
My question is, what people's biggest mistake do to their fail in their life, according to you? They are two mistakes in their life and they are fail.
I think the biggest mistake is recently I've been told that, you know, your life, what is the best thing in your life is that you get to make the decisions that you want. You get to make good decisions. You get to make bad decisions. You get to make whatever decision you want. But if you're not making decisions for yourself and you're not enjoying your life, I think that's the biggest mistake that you can make. You can fail miserably in a business and enjoy the learning of every bit of it. And to me, I think that I consider that a success. But if you're succeeding, right, if you're making a lot of money, like moving very, you know, fast up the career ladder and then having everything that you ever wish for, but you're miserable, I think that's the biggest mistake that you can make in life. Yeah, I mean, all the time. I think, you know, for example, this year I got laid off, right?
Yeah.
So it wasn't because of my fault. It wasn't because of the company's fault. It was just because of the coronavirus, right? Yeah. So do you consider that a failing? Yeah, sure, maybe. But I think sometimes you just, if something is out of your control, you don't spend time crying over it. You just figure out what you want to do next. And also, you want to look at the positives of it, right? So I am actually grateful that I got laid off so that I have the opportunity to start the business, because otherwise it would have taken me maybe 2 years more.
Yeah, that's awesome. Did you say anything else apart of it, anything our conversation? Did you give any advice, anything else?
No, I think this is a pretty good start. I'm still trying to figure out myself as well. And my digital nomad life is definitely helping with that. I'm having realizations all the time. And I actually just had a meltdown earlier today before speaking to you. And I had some breakthroughs, which is also good. But, you know, life is a process. It just keeps breaking and keep building and keep breaking and keep building. So trust the process, know that you're enough, and just continue to go on.
Yeah. And also one of my last question, because it's too taking it already too much time of you. How can people reach out with you very easily?
Yeah, so if you want to work with me, I am working on my Instagram and YouTube, and I want to put out more interesting content, maybe a podcast. Like what you do is and podcasts at the same time. But the best way to reach me is to just go directly to my website, chapternomad.com, and you would be able to watch my free training video or whichever free resource that I happen to release in the future. And then you can also apply to work with me.
Yeah, that's great. And also, guys, I'm write everything about Leland on the description, their chapter nomad and their social media profile link, and you can contact them if you need anything else, because they are really very awesome guy. A very like awesome person. If I talk about everything, I just say honestly, some of the interview which I didn't prepare anything, but I go very good interview, take very good interview, like you and like some of the guys, because it is very feel very freely and talk very easily. So I just say thank you to again, thank you so much for joining with me and sharing your awesome experience and with me and my audience. So thank you so much once again for joining with me, honestly.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure, and hopefully my message will resonate with some of your audience and inspire them to go out there and live their dreams. Thanks for having me. Really, really glad to be here.
Hey guys, you are enjoy the whole podcast episode, and also you are bringing some value from this podcast episode. So guys, never ever miss to subscribe my podcast on Apple Podcast, Spotify Podcast, and aap jis bhi podcast pe sunte ho us pe. And also guys, never forget to give 5-star rating on Apple Podcast. It's appreciate for me and supporting and your love for me.